Today we're going to start by turning to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And our title today is Finish What You Start. That's why we read that passage. Jesus said, "It is finished." Finish what you start. Matthew 21. And with the best of intentions, a young man pledges his troth, whatever that is, to a young lady. And she responds with her, "I do's," and they fully intend to see it through. With zeal and enthusiasm, a young man, a young lady, enrolls in Bible school. And they fully intend to pass all those classes and to graduate. With great joy in their heart, the new convert is baptized and testifies, "I'm going to follow Jesus." They join the church and they complain that there's not enough church services in the week. Remember that? It's easy to start. It's easy to start, but the question is, will you finish? It's easy to enroll. It's easy to sign up. It's easy to pledge. It's easy to vow, but will you see it through? Will you see it through? The test of Christian character is not what you say you will do. It's doing it. It's not what you intend to do. It is getting it done. It's not starting well. It's finishing well. And so let's read. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 28, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went." All right, so here's a case. The young man didn't start well, but he finished well. Verse 30, "And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.'" Very polite, correct answer. "I go, sir. And went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." Jesus say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we're just thankful that we can study your word, that you saved it for us so we could do it. Father, we pray today that you will help us to think about the times where we said we were going to do something for you or for someone else, and help us, Lord, to recognize and realize and that how important it is to finish that, make good on our vows and to do what we say we're going to do, and the effect that it has on others when we don't. Help us, Lord, to receive your instruction today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when I think about those of you who are actively doing something for the Lord, or those of you who are giving up of your precious free time to go out and pass out gospel tracts to the lost, man, I rejoice, because it really fills the heart with joy. I mean that. And then you think of all the people that used to participate in those activities and used to preach the gospel and used to fill their spot in the church service and prayer meeting. And you try not to dwell upon how desperately, how completely some of them have failed to go on for Jesus Christ. And you realize that it is a great thing. It's a great thing to get saved. It's a great thing to have eternal life. It's a great thing to join a church. It's a great thing to give yourself to the ministry of the gospel. But if you don't finish all that God made available to you, it's as though it was never there. As though it was never there. I'm not talking about the loss of salvation. I hope you understand. I'm talking about people who want to serve God, for example, as husband and wife. Okay, honey, let's serve the Lord together. yes, that sounds great, honey. And then now that same home is broken. Now what? Okay. People who once served the Lord Jesus Christ in the zeal of their youth, and now they're just one more miserable adult, growing old and lonely and bitter. How those that could be pillars in the church instead took an axe and set about to chop down the pillars of the church. One man said, I'll do whatever you ask, Father, because I love you. I'll do whatever you ask, Father, because I respect you. I'll do whatever you ask, Father, because your will is best. But he didn't do it. And then another who had more than objections, it was refusal, outright refusal. I will not go. I'll never do that. I'll never be one of those people. I'll never surrender my life to do what you want me to do. But after a while, that one, he repented and realized the Father's will is better than his will. The Father's way is better than his way. It didn't start well, but he said, but at least I can finish well. Okay? And Jesus said that it would be great if you could start well and finish well. But if you got to pick one or the other, let's finish properly rather than start properly and then flame out. All right, now take a look in your Bible in Luke chapter 14, the book of Luke chapter 14. We don't want to just have a happy honeymoon. We want to have a happy anniversary every year from that time forward. We don't want to just thank God when we bring children into the world. We want to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We don't want to just rejoice when our name is added to the church roll in the beginning, right, when you first join that church. No, we want to be there when the Lord calls us home to glory, to rejoice every time someone else's name is added to the church roll. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 25 is our starting place. The Bible says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we're not going to run all those cross-references today, but that word hate in your Bible, that's a matter of preference, okay? He loves one, he hates the other. We read about that in family situations. A man, he provides for all of his family, all of his children, takes care of them all, but there is one favored, right? There's one that's preferred above the other. And so it's called hate because the one who's not preferred, what's on their mind? You know, because we're so self-centered, aren't we? You know, if you don't put me first, that means to me you hate me. Okay, and the Lord said, your father may say, you hate him. Your mother may say that you hate her. Your children might say that you hate them, but you got to prefer me above all others, including yourself. That's what he said. Notice, he put that in the list. Look, let's read more. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. See, nobody in town talks about all the buildings that were completed, but they, for year after year after year, make fun of the building that was never finished. Every time I read this, I always think about the house two doors down from where I live. It's halfway built, and it's been that way for 5 years now. And I wonder if the guy's ever going to, maybe he died, I don't know, but I'm glad that it's not finished because it gives my dog a place to do his stuff. But anyway, what Jesus said here, it's so important. When John the Baptist was preaching, the coming of a kingdom. Many people, they got on board right away. Okay, when Jesus Christ was giving sight to blind people, cleansing lepers, opening the ears of the deaf, man, many people got on board. They wanted in on that. When Jesus was shaking the Pharisees and the Sadducees and rebuking that old dead religion, many people got on board. But when they saw that bruised and bloody Messiah carrying that cross up Calvary's hill and being nailed there, just about everybody went home. Just about everybody went home. You know, we didn't sign up for this. No way. And the Lord's question here is not, do you intend to build a tower? The Lord's question here is not, will you start building a tower? Okay. The Lord's question here is not, hey, don't you think it's great that we're going to put up a tower? We're going to. Okay. The Lord's question is, will you quit when it becomes difficult? Will you quit when it becomes unpleasant? Will you quit when it calls for more effort than you've ever counted on? Will you not just follow him when the waters of the Jordan are flowing past you and everything's good? Will you not just follow him when he's turning a little boy's lunch into an abundant meal for all? Will you not just follow him when there's joy and rejoicing? Will you follow him to the cross? And the statement here in the passage is, well, I hadn't counted on that. Most people who quit church, most people who quit marriage, most people who quit friendships, most people who quit on their obligations and their commitments, they quit because something occurs that they hadn't counted on. They didn't think about it. And this is why we don't preach one of those fairy tale gospels that you get in the mega churches, or one of those line your pockets gospels that they preach on the Christian TV. We're going to tell you up front, do you follow Jesus? You say you follow Jesus? Okay, well, he shed tears. Do you follow Jesus? He was lied about. You ready for that? Do you follow Jesus? He was despised and rejected of men. Can you take it? Do you follow Jesus? He had spit in his face. We want to tell you up front all the things you can count on. Good friends, not so good friends. Loving people, not so loving people. High times, happy times, down times, sad times. Count on it. And then determine that you are going to finish what you start. Praise the Lord. All right, marriage ceremonies are a great example. You know, when a man stands up there and repeats, for better or for worse, well, worse is not really entering into his mind, and it shouldn't be. You know, for richer or for poorer, well, she's hoping richer because she's probably already tired of poorer. And then in sickness and in health. And you understand, we say the vows, and we mean it when we say the vows. We just don't anticipate the stress and the strife and the difficulty of the sickness and the worse and of the poorer. And when it comes, it wasn't what we signed up for, really, though we said that it was what we signed up for. And then we begin to entertain thoughts of not finishing. You see the little children, and you see the older children learning to sit in church, and moms and dads who are raising the four and 5 year olds, they see the struggles of those moms and dads who have 18 year olds and 16 year olds, and they think, well, that'll never happen in my family. My children will never say that to an adult. My child will never have that, an attitude like that. Well, enjoy it while you can, because at 13, the UFO is going to hover over your house and take your child's brain, experiment on it for many, many years, and then hopefully bring it back one day. And all the things that you said would never be part of raising children, you find out they are part of raising children. And then we get saved. There's another situation. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. And all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And what you mean is, everything I know about today, I surrender. But as the years roll by and you read more of that Bible and you hear more preaching from the Word of God, you realize, man, there's a lot more to surrender than I intended to give up. There's a lot more that the Lord expects of me than I ever expected. I wasn't talking about that when I said, take the world, but give me Jesus. And we begin to weigh in our heart whether or not we really, truly want to finish this thing and see it through. Would you agree? I think that's fair. I've been saved since 1991. I did not know that it was going to be like this. I did not know that I was going to experience these things. I did not know that I would treat people in the ways that I've treated them, and they would treat me in the ways that they've treated me. I did not know church members could be all that they are. And we'll leave it at that. They did not know pastors could be all that they are. Okay? And you know why? Because we read that Bible selectively. We rejoice in the better, in the richer, in the health. We even rejoice in the till death do us part. We just kind of thought those verses about poorer and sickness and worse were never going to happen to us because we love Jesus. You know, my family is dedicated to the Lord. The things God said would happen to us, they're not going to happen to us. We didn't count the cost because we really didn't believe the figures when they came back. See, if you sit down with your accountant and read your New Testament, he says, now here's what it's going to cost you to live for Jesus. And we just hear whatever number we think. We don't hear the real, actual number. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we didn't know it was going to cost this much. Well, I told you it was going to cost this much. Well, I didn't know marriage was going to be like this. Man, I preached a whole series on marriage. I gave you notes to take home. I told you marriage is going to be like this. And you just went, oh, yeah, but she's so pretty. And she said, oh, he's never been mean to me. She's never talked back to me. This is going to be great. Yeah, for about 2 weeks. And then he starts letting his guard down, and she says, well, if he's going to let his guard down, I'll just let my guard down, and away we go. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see the example of Jesus. John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. John 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Okay? All we need to see about that. John 5, look there. John 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. All right, so they arrest him. They lie about him. He endures perjured witnesses, betraying friends. He's beaten. He's whipped. He has a crown of thorns driven into his brow. They rip his beard out by the roots. They nail him to a cross. They spit in his face. John 19, verse 30, the last words of Christ upon the cross. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. If you're saved today, it's because Christ died for your sins. If you're not saved and want to be saved, you can be because Christ died for our sins. We would have no Savior. I hope you're listening. We would have no Savior if he started but didn't finish. There would be no payment for our sins if he started but didn't finish. If he fed the multitudes and walked on the water and healed the sick and cast out the devils and taught the Sermon on the Mount and loved people but did not die on that cross, we would all go straight to hell without a Savior. Jesus said, "My Father gave me a job to do, and I'm going to complete the job my Father gave me to do." And on that cross, he cried, "It is finished." Praise the Lord for a Savior that didn't just start and didn't go as far as he could until it got difficult. Praise the Lord for a Savior that saw it through. Amen. You say, "Well, he's God manifest in the flesh. What do you expect of me? You think I can be God?" All right, let's look at another example. Let's look at Paul's example. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Paul is a man, just a man, but a man who devoted himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." Okay, so that's a good start. First day, he had a good start. Verse 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Well, man, there's plenty of quitting ground right there. Wouldn't you agree? A lot of things to make a man want to quit. You know, "Lord, I'm going to go to Ephesus. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to start a church. I'm going to teach people the Bible. What do you got for me?" Oh, there's tears, temptations, people lying in wait to destroy you. that's not how I thought it would go. Verse 20, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Okay, look, verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Okay, look at that 23rd verse again. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." All right, so what he knows when he goes to the next town that he may or may not have known when he got to Ephesus is that it's not going to get any easier. They're going to throw me in prison. They're going to afflict me. My life is going to be very, very difficult. But I signed on to preach the gospel to everyone who would listen, and to as many as I could, even if they would not listen. and whatever I endure along the way, I'm okay with that because I signed on to preach the gospel. And he said, my intent, leaving Ephesus and heading toward Jerusalem, he said, my intent is to finish. My intent is to finish. That's what I want to do. Now look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, because I haven't reached the finish line yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What I find so fascinating about that statement, and we'll have a lesson on it here in a few weeks, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. The first half of this chapter, he reviews his past life. Okay? In other epistles, he talks about people who betrayed him, people who disappointed him, people who promised him things and they didn't come through. He talks about men who served him and then they forsook him, and men who helped him and then they undermined him. And while he had a recollection of all those disappointments, all those hurts, it's not like he erased his memory, it's not possible. He said, I just choose to forget about it and press on. I just choose to leave it in the past and not make it part of my present, because I want to cross the finish line. I don't want to let what other people did stop me from doing what I told the Lord I would do for him. Young people, you might have a group of close and beloved friends at age 8, 9, 13, 14, and then at 17, 18, some of those friends decide they don't like this Bible preaching. They don't like this level of devotion to the Word of God. Well, are you going to drop out because they drop out? Or are you going to say, I remember when we were best friends, and I wish we were still best friends today, but I got to go on for Jesus. Brother, are you going to go home tonight and have another miserable evening because you can't let go of the fight from 2 years ago? Sister, every time you get a little bit cross, are you going to bring up everything the man ever said that he shouldn't have said? We're not asking you to erase those things from your memory. That'll happen. That's going to happen in the rapture. Okay? But I'm asking you, can you leave it in the past and press on and finish this thing and have another happy anniversary and another happy anniversary and another happy anniversary until one or both of us goes home to be with the Lord? You'll not knock on very many doors with the gospel before you meet somebody who says, I used to go to church. In fact, many of them will say, I used to go to that church. Then they'll talk about some prayer that God didn't answer, or some bad thing that some church member did to them, or some inappropriate action, real or imagined, on the part of the pastor. And you know what has happened? For that last, think about this, for the last 10, 20, 30 years, that saved Christian who could have been a witness for Jesus Christ all those years, who could have been supporting missions for all those years, who could have been a blessing in a church for all those years, he's just sitting home bitter, staring at the TV and living for nothing more than a ball game and snacks in the refrigerator. Why? Not because something didn't happen, but because what happened, they just dragged into the present, and it keeps them from finishing what they started. Paul said, I want to finish. I want to finish. I remember Demas, but he's not going to make me quit. I remember Alexander, what he did, but he's not going to make me quit. I remember those betrayers back there at Ephesus, but they're not going to make me quit. I remember that falling out that I had with Barnabas one time, but that's not going to make me quit. I am going to finish. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we want to tell sad stories, and I mean, we could talk till midnight. You got yours, I got mine. But what about Jesus? What about what he has done for us? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, okay, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. These people, man, these people who lived and died in faith in Hebrews 11, just like you, just like me, every day of our lives, we get up, we get dressed, we put our shoes on, and we have an option. I can think about what's in the past, good or bad, and if my thoughts and my heart are on what I left behind, I will have an occasion or an opportunity sooner or later to go back there. If I think about the great blessings that God has for me the rest of my life and for all of eternity, I'll have occasion today to keep traveling in that direction. If you want to finish, keep your mind on the finish line. If you want to see it through, keep your mind on what awaits you today, tomorrow, in eternity. Well, you know, something happened to me a year ago. Well, me too. Me too. Something happened to me in the church. Me too. I get it. I'm not unsympathetic. I'm just not going to dwell on that. I understand that it hurts. I understand that it is disappointing. I understand it's discouraging. I understand that it makes you angry even. I'm just not going to park there because it will stop me from proceeding to enjoy more blessing and more victories and more joy walking with Jesus. I'm not making light of your troubles and your disappointments and your pain. I'm saying, come on, let's not stay here. Let's press ahead for Jesus. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 7, you say, why do we have to look at all these verses? Well, because what God has to say is far more important than what anybody else would have to say. Now, if we read this entire first part of 1 Corinthians 7, this is a really, really, really harsh reality. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Lord, he's writing to a Christian man whose wife abandoned him, a Christian woman whose husband abandoned her. Those who have experienced that, they know that this sort of thing hurts. This sort of thing hurts worse than a loved one dying. But here's what the Lord said in verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Okay, so the Lord sets in front of you possibly the greatest pain and disappointment you could experience in this life. And then he said, did you not promise to follow Jesus? Did you not promise to live for the Lord? Did you not say, whatever happened to you, you were going to finish this race and win it for Jesus? Then let's keep going. Let's keep going. It would be really harsh for me to say that, but I hope you understand the Holy Spirit is saying that. The Holy Spirit said, let's keep going. Let's finish. Let's see it through. And what is his example? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, I intend to finish. Broken relationships, broken heart, tears, troubles, but I intend to finish. And here's the last thing he wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. That's a nice, polite way of saying the Roman government is about to cut my head off. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You can say, well, of course, Jesus finished. He was God manifest in the flesh. How could he not fail? Well, he could have not finished if he chose not to finish. But here's a man, again, just a man, saved, Holy Spirit, and he surrenders his life to the Lord and has troubles, has trials, heartaches, difficulties, just like every one of us. And he writes from a prison cell before his execution, and he says, it has not only been a fight, it's been a good fight. It has not only been a life, it's been a good life. It's not only been an adventure, it's been a good adventure. And I just wanted to let you know that that mark I was pressing toward, I'm just about to cross the finish line. I'm just about to break the tape. I finished my course. I finished my course. Had Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will, and then got to the cross and said, I'm not going to do that. Do you know what every one of us would have thought? Why would I trust God? Can somebody mute the Zoom for me, please? His own son wouldn't even see it through. Why would I trust God? If I had built all these churches and won all these souls and then quit and gone back in the world, or quit and just said, I've done enough, I'm through. Every one of us would have said, well, I guess it's not that good of a life after all. Do you know what convinces me and what I hope convinces you? That there's no better life than living for Jesus. It's that Christ and the Apostle Paul faced troubles and trials greater than most of us will ever experience. But they said, you know what? This is so good. I'm not quitting. This life is so wonderful. I'm going to see it through. I'm going to see it through. You know, when you get saved, young man, you're all fired up. You go to work, you hand out all those gospel tracts, and you're surprised that everybody doesn't get saved because, well, you're so excited. You know why they don't get saved? Because they've seen 10 of you. The last guy went back to drinking in 6 months. He was just like you. Okay? The guy before him was cussing again in less than a year. Most of them don't even go to church anymore. In fact, most of them, they're right there making fun of you, giving out the tracts. And they used to say they were serving Jesus. You know what those people at your job, you know what they want to see? They want to see you in love with Jesus 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, thanking Jesus Christ for your salvation at the little gathering that they throw for you when you retire. That's what they want to see. They want to see that it's real. And the proof that it's real is not that you say so when you're there on the mountaintop. It just, you know, just delivered from your sin and praise God, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. They want to see that it's real because, well, through that, you didn't give up on God. And through that, you didn't give up on God. And through that, you didn't give up on God. Finish. Your neighbors, they don't want to see the bumper stickers on your car. They want to see that the bumper stickers are still on your car after that tragedy in your home, after that trouble in your life. They're waiting for you to peel it off. They're waiting for you to take down the Jesus sign so you so boldly put up in your front yard when you were on fire for God. You say, well, I invited my neighbors to church. They didn't want to come. They didn't want to come because the last neighbors that invited them changed churches every 6 months. You know what they want? Your neighbors, what they want? They want to see that dedication and that commitment that says to them, when I got tired of that hobby and I got tired of that relationship and I got tired of that thrill, what I found in Jesus Christ, it was good 5 years ago, it's good today, and it'll be good 5 years from now. Finishing, it really matters. It's important, not just to you, but to the world that's watching you. And they are. One more verse here, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. I've not done everything the way that I should. I don't suppose any of us have. I've not done anything as well as I could have. I don't suppose any of us have. But one day, I'm going to stand face to face with Christ, and I am going to give an account of my life. My life, not yours. Okay? And one day, you're going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ and give an account of, you know, not for my life, but for yours. I don't want to hear this at that time. Galatians 5, 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. See, I don't want my Savior to look at me and say, what happened? Why did you quit? What did you find that was worth more to you than me? What did somebody do to you that was more important than what I did for you? Why didn't you finish? When I read those verses in Galatians, and I think about them a lot, I don't want to tell Jesus you weren't worth it. I don't want to try and explain to Jesus that I thought I found something better. What would that be? What would it be? Thank you for starting. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't started out to at least be in church. Let's don't quit. Let's don't drop out. Let's don't allow something that the Lord said was coming. I mean, there's a lot in this Bible about how to handle troubles and trials and disappointments. That they must be down the road somewhere. Let's finish. Let's finish. We're saved because Jesus cried, It is finished. We have a third of our New Testament by the pen of a man who had lots of reasons to quit, but he never did. He said he finished his course. But wouldn't you like, as a young man, just before you leave this world, ahead of your time, or as a senior saint, wheeling yourself down the track, wouldn't you like to break that tape, and as you step from earth into heaven, to hear the crowd cheering because you finished? I want to finish. I don't want to just start. I want to finish. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you came to do your Father's will, and you finished what he had for you to finish. We thank you, Lord, for faithful men that you told us about in your Holy Scriptures, who saw that it was there was nothing more important than serving you their whole life, no matter what troubles came their way. Thank you, Lord, for showing us we don't have to dwell on those things, but we need to press forward, remembering what you have waiting for us at that finish line. So I pray, Lord, you'll help us. Anybody here who's maybe remembers how they used to serve and they know they're not doing it anymore, I pray, Lord, that this has been an encouragement to them to press on and get back to it, not give up, not quit. Same goes for me, Lord. I pray that if I'm not doing enough, that you'll help me and show me what you would have me to do, to not let anything of the past stop me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.